This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for lectures, features, and radio shows. And now, here's Coy Barefoot.
Well, folks, we've been talking about it quite a bit here for years, how to protect the rural land in Albemarle County. There's a lot of folks out there who think the best way to protect it is just to leave it alone and let the landowners do as they will. They've done a good job, and we don't need to do anything, don't need to bring government into the process. There are other folks who believe that that's precisely what we need to do. Government, as the voice of the people, needs to get involved and make sure that this land is protected for in a wise way for future generations to enjoy. It's part of the reason this is one of the best places to live in America. Albemarle County Board of Supervisors had a vote last night, 4-2, to pass 3 rural area protection ordinances. And David Slutsky is a member of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors, one of the folks last night who voted yes for these ordinances. And David, I appreciate you coming in on short notice. And as we talked about on the phone today, and as I have said on this program since I've been on it for a couple times now, Ken Boyd, who voted against these ordinances, was on the WINA morning show this morning sharing some of his perspective of why he voted against them. Rob Schilling had his program this afternoon, not a fan of these ordinances. So I thought it only fair that WINA offer you an opportunity to come explain to members of the community, well, why did you vote yes? So that's what we want to do today, and want to give you an opportunity to do that. But before we do, can you, just for the folks who are just joining us from Des Moines, tell us what was at issue here and what were you voting on?
Coy, first of all, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to be on your show. I listen to it often, and what I like about it is you let people actually explain themselves. You're not a soundbite a radio show.
Well, thank you very much.
We had in front of us last night were 3 very specific things. We had 3 ordinances. They're actually modifications of existing ordinances. And one of them dealt with watershed protection. A second one dealt with what we call safe and convenient access. And the third one dealt with family subdivisions. And I think a lot of the good folks that turned out last night to, most of them, expressed their displeasure with the fact that we were considering these. I think a lot of them were responding to misunderstandings, and I think a lot of them were responding to ideology differences. And, you know, sometimes we're going to have to make decisions as public officials that not everyone's going to like. But based on my own interactions with the county as a whole, I think the vast majority of Albemarle County citizens were in support of what was done last night, and I've gotten an awful lot of very positive emails.
We're talking with David Slutsky, a member of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. I read in the paper this morning in the Progress about the vote last night. It referenced the fact that there were just it referenced the 2 public hearings in regards to this vote.
No.
And I was a little surprised by the reporter's use of that, because I thought that this has been talked about for years.
Yeah, I think Jeremy was being way too narrow in his language. There have been over 70 meetings that the public has been participating in on these issues over the last many years. There have been more than 14 Board of Supervisors meetings where these items were discussed. There have been more than 10 public meetings where the public had an opportunity to weigh in just in the last year, including last night. It really was the 3rd time that we discussed it just in the last year. So there have been many opportunities for the public to weigh in. Now, some folks have said, well, the ordinances that were passed last night were different from what was on the agenda of those prior meetings. Well, that's true. They're greatly scaled back. They're significantly less disruptive of private property rights, if you will, and they're arguably also significantly less effective. But we haven't added anything to the ordinances since the beginning of this track. We've only taken away.
Can you go point by point here and tell us why then you voted to support these ordinances? And
let me first say what they are, if that's okay.
Yeah, and before you do, before we get into the specifics of this, one thing I always like to do with Brian Wheeler is just to make clear why in the first place we're talking about these rural, you know, protecting the rural area. As I understand it, Albemarle County's plan for growth is, we got growth areas over here, and we're going to give you the green light, developers, to come in here and build. We got rural areas over here, and those we're going to protect. And we see a lot of the build, build, build in the growth areas, and yet we haven't seen, in my opinion, just my opinion, we haven't seen, on the other hand, the protection in the rural areas.
Well, we've actually seen a lot more build, build, build in the rural areas than our comp plan would have you expect. About 25 or more years ago, Albemarle County citizens overwhelmingly supported a decision that the then Board of Supervisors implemented in the form of our comp plan. And it basically said, as you described, we're setting aside 5% of the county, most of it the donut that's around Charlottesville, and we're going to concentrate what growth activities we have inside that growth area. In return, we're going to protect the rural areas, which are the 95% of the county that we have set aside as rural areas. And over the years, we have developed ideas for how we will protect the rural area. And the ordinances that were passed last night are a small subset of what's already reflected in our comp plan and in our rural area plan, which I might note have been unanimously supported by most of the members on this board.
And it would seem to me that the protection of the rural areas give you the rationale then to grow in the growth areas.
Well, no, there are a lot of people who don't like growth, and I happen to sort of have ambivalence about it. I recognize that it's inevitability, number one. And number two, there are certainly benefits to growth. My concern is about where growth activities occur. I'm an environmentalist. I spent most of my life as an environmentalist. And so for me, I'm concerned first and foremost about protecting the ecological systems that our county has. Most of them in the rural area are still in pretty good condition. The ones in the growth area are not such good shape. But what I've always thought was important was protect the ecological systems in that 95% of the county. And that's the reason for pushing what growth we have into the growth areas. And these ordinances last night relate to that purpose of protecting the rural areas from what activity, what growth activity does occur in the rural areas. And I should note that we've had on average 290 some odd detached single-family homes built per year in the rural area of the county over the last 10 years. That's about the size of Biscuit Run over the last 10 years in the rural area where our comp plan and our citizens don't actually want development to be occurring. So we clearly have a problem and we need to address it.
We're talking with David Slutsky, a member of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. So then to the vote last night, tell us about each of these issues and why you support them and why, as you where you said, they make sense.
Okay. Well, let's talk about what they are first. They're, one of them was a more major one, if you will, than the other two. The lesser ones in some respects are the safe access ordinance changed. And what that is it's an ordinance that says if you've got a rural area lot and you're going to build a driveway to access a home site on that lot, we said last night that you have to make sure that that driveway does not exceed a 16% grade unless you get permission from the county. In other words, the county can give you permission to go above that for short stretches, but that's the benchmark that you're required to meet unless you get a waiver. And the reason why a lot of people said, well, 16% is just terribly restrictive, and if you do that, we could have never built Monticello, and that's just plain not true. The facts are, I looked into this pretty carefully before I made up my mind on the ordinance. It turns out that Monticello is built with no grade greater than 5%. And that's because Thomas Jefferson understood that the horse and buggy couldn't get up a grade higher than 5% very easily. None of the interstates in the Commonwealth of Virginia have a grade greater than 6%. Even going through the Colorado Rockies, I-70, which has some pretty steep grades, none of them are in excess of 7%. A lot of people say, well, Browns Mountain, I've been up that. That's a much steeper grade, and you couldn't be able to use the top of Browns Mountain. Well, it turns out that the road going up Browns Mountain is 14% grade. So all of those are below the threshold that we set last night. The second of the ordinances that we took on yesterday dealt with family subdivisions. And I felt sad because a lot of really good-intended people came to our meeting last night, I think, misunderstanding what we were doing, which means, frankly, we haven't done as good a job as we needed to on the board explaining exactly what it is that we're doing. Right now, in a lot of Commonwealth of Virginia, you just don't have the right of a, quote, a family subdivision. A family subdivision is a technical term for getting permission to build a house on a lot where you don't have an adequate road. You don't have a road that meets the standards. If you've got a development right and you have enough acreage, There's nobody stopping you from going ahead and subdividing your property and giving those subdivided parcels to your children.
And that's called by right development, right?
That's by right development. Well, you're still allowed to do that. The issue here is in the rare instance where your lot or, your property doesn't actually have a place where you could have a parcel and an adequate road that gets to it to give to your children. In that rare instance, we don't want to shut you out of being able to honor your legacy. And so we have created this exception that says you can make a family subdivision in that instance as long as you meet certain rules. So what we did yesterday was only modify an existing rule in the following way. Before last night, the family subdivision ordinance was only changed in one regard. Before last night, you had to hold the property 5 minutes, if you will, before you did the subdivision, and then you had to hold on to that property, your child did, for 2 years before they could turn around and sell it. What we did last night was expanded that to 4 years on the front end, meaning you had to own it and hold it for 4 years before you could do the family subdivision, and then 4 years more on the back end to ensure that you weren't actually trying to circumnavigate our rules so that you could make, you know, make money as a developer. People aren't going to do that very often, but we didn't want them to be able to do it at all. The enabling legislation in Virginia allows us to put a 15-year waiting period on the front end and a 15-year waiting period on the back end. When we had the public hearing last October, frankly, when I went into the public hearing, I was expecting to support the much more draconian standard of 10 years on the back end that was in front of us that night. A lot of the public comment changed my mind. And so what we came up with that our board was comfortable with this time was 4 years and 4 years. That's the only thing we changed last night. We didn't get rid of any rights. And in fact, we in Albemarle County provide the right of family subdivision when some of the Commonwealth doesn't even have it. We simply extended the time period that you have to hold the property. And frankly, if family members are going to be giving the land to their children for the long haul, this won't affect them at all.
See, that's very important because we've actually got calls. We're talking with David Slutsky of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. I've actually had calls to this program who say, I have land, I have kids, I want to give them land to build on, and now Albemarle County tells me I can't.
We did not change in any way a person's right to do that. All we did was change the waiting period before you could do the subdivision from 0 years to four, and then we added an extra 2 years on the waiting period on the back end. The more controversial...
Before that child then who builds the house or doesn't...
Could turn around and sell
could
it.
Could turn around and flip it to somebody else and make some money off of it.
That's right. They could build as soon as the subdivision
takes
place.
So the county has no problem then with people creating the lots and for their kids to live on.
Quite the opposite. We actually have gone to the trouble of having a family subdivision ordinance to allow for that exception when a lot of jurisdictions haven't done it. The third thing that we voted on yesterday is perhaps the more controversial, and that is the Watershed Protection Ordinance. And frankly, it kind of boggles my mind how much negative reaction we got from the public, because what we had before last night was in 1998, the county adopted an ordinance to protect its drinking watershed, in this case, the South Fork of the Rivanna River, by saying that you couldn't build within 100 feet of a blue line stream or an intermittent stream. In the last year, our Board of Supervisors, and I might note, including Ken and Lindsay, unanimously voted to extend that ordinance to include the North Fork of the Rivanna River watershed, which meant that the ordinance, instead of covering 40% of our county, now covered 50% of the county. All we did last night was extend that same ordinance to the rest of the county. Nothing more, nothing less. And have people acting like, you know, there's this mad, you know, conspiracy to steal private property rights. I mean, we heard some pretty strong language last night. Where were they when we, for example, unanimously voted to do this to the North Rivanna watershed last year? People didn't object back then because I think at the time they understood the ordinance. I think there's been a lot of misinformation provided to people, which is really unfortunate because it's not fair.
So Ken Boyd, who was on the morning show this morning, was talking about it. So he actually voted in the past to support this very same thing in other parts of the county.
So did Lindsay Doyer. I sat on the board with him last year when we voted unanimously without much there wasn't any grumbling. There wasn't any expressed concerns. It was a pretty straightforward, of course we ought to do this. We're all interested in protecting our valuable resource, our water. Now, what is different about, in fairness, what is different about the ordinance last night from, for example, what we did with the North Rivanna watershed is we protected a watershed that other people drink, not Albemarle County residents. And the reason we did it is because it's still our water, if you think of us, as including other Virginians.
The Commonwealth.
The Commonwealth, yeah. Precisely. I would rather, if our water happened to come from somebody else's county and wander down through the mountain or over the valley and into Albemarle County, I would very much appreciate it if the folks upstream had the same gesture of consideration that we did. It's an appropriate thing for us to do. We all, as Americans, as Virginians, just as much as Albemarle County residents, need to be protecting our ecological systems. This is not a draconian measure. This is a fairly nominal measure. There were a lot of people who spoke last night, and they did in October as well, and I think they were very sincere, spoke of their own stewardship of the land. And most of them are farmers, but not all of them. And these are people who in many cases have owned their land for generations, or they themselves have owned it for a long time. And they correctly view themselves as good stewards of the land. And their attitude was, well, we don't need the government to tell us how to, handle our property. Well, Dennis actually gave me a great analogy for that. He said it's kind of like asking somebody, we don't want to have a speed limit because I don't plan on driving fast. That the ordinance isn't designed to make people who are good stewards of rural land in Albemarle County have any adverse consequence at all. It's designed to keep the bad players from being able to do things that none of us should want them to do. And I think that that's appropriate government behavior. This is not unduly restrictive. Now, there were some interesting points raised during the public discourse that had an impact on me, and I know they had an impact on others on our board. And those were comments that said, well, wait a minute. What if on my property the environmental conditions are such that it actually does make sense for me to be able to do a stream crossing or something like that, as long as I put in appropriate mitigation strategies so that the runoff, the sedimentation that might run off from my road or from my building site wouldn't get into the water. And a lot of us thought that made sense, and it's appropriate for our county to figure out a system of waivers, and I think we're likely to do that, and I think we're going to do it with a certain amount of urgency, to be honest with you.
In the few minutes that we have left, we're talking with David Slutsky of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. Can you talk to the issue of this? The biggest thing that I certainly heard in this whole debate before the vote last night was, property rights, it's my property, I should be able to do whatever the heck I want with it, I'll take care of it, government leave me alone. This whole idea of, efforts on the part of the community to protect our rural areas and this idea of, hey, that's my land, it may be your rural area, but it's my land.
I think you've got to the crux of the matter, Coy. I actually have, since I've been on the board, struggled mightily with how do I put forward an agenda to protect the rural area while at the same time honoring property rights. And I happen to value property rights. I respect them greatly, and I appreciate why people don't want to have property rights taken away ruthlessly. And what I did is I actually met with some of the stronger property rights advocates in this community. I met with folks from the Farm Bureau, Free Enterprise Forum, a lot of the housing industry. And I asked a lot of people, why do you object to us constraining growth in the rural area? For example, don't you want to protect the rural area? And I was really pleased with the response I got, which was everyone I talked to said, I want to protect the rural area, but I also want to protect my wealth. I want to protect my property rights. And I said, well, what if I can come up with a strategy where we could protect the rural area and your property rights, you don't lose any value? And the response I uniformly got was, where do I sign up? It wasn't just, okay, I could tolerate that. It's, I want that to happen because the reason I live in the rural area is because I value the rural area the way it is now. I don't want it populated with subdivisions and lots of, stick houses. That's not what most of our rural area landowners want. And so I did put forward a proposal about a year and a half ago, and I think our county is likely to be, over the next few years, grappling with how do we use the concept of transferable development rights to achieve the purpose of protecting the rural area while at the same time protecting property rights. If you downzone, which means you make existing property rights not usable, but in return you make it possible for those rights to be sold to another property where they can be used, then the person who owns the land from which you took the property rights away, they get to sell the property rights separate from the land for what they're worth in the free market, as long as you actually have a well-designed market, and we'd have to do that. And they also get the benefit of they get to keep their land.
So you're using market forces then to protect the rural land. So it's not the government saying, no, you can't do that. You sort of separate the value of the value it would have if built on from the value of the raw land, and you can sell one and keep the other.
Precisely. And perhaps I come back some other time, we could talk about the concept of TDRs in more detail. But that's the basic underlying idea, is we balanced the objectives of protecting the rural area with the objective of protecting private property rights. And that's the sweet spot that I hope we can find.
David Slutsky is a member of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. Thank you for explaining your rationale and your position on what has become a debated issue here in Central Virginia. A vote last night of 4-2 to pass these rural area protection ordinances. David, thank you for coming in, and we'll look forward to having you back on the program.
Thanks for letting me on today, Coy.
You've been listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. The show is on the air Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 in the afternoon. Join in on the show by calling 434-977-1070 or feel free to leave a comment on the show at SevillePodcast.com. This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network.